Hey everyone, this is Nick. Thanks for joining us for the Circuit Riders Podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions community here in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. This podcast is from our Circuit Rider Experience, which is a seven-month discipleship training school. Hope you enjoy.
Okay, so guys, this is what happened. I started women's Bible study in our farmhouse. I've got only two of the four kids. And these women are coming over, and it started with like 35 girls, and it just grew to hundreds of girls seated in my living room, going up the stairs of my house. Every weekend I was just teaching the most basic things, like who is Jesus? What is prayer? It was so simple. So we decided, Brian just really started to raise up. He was in full-time business, and he goes, you know what? There is a real opportunity at this school, and we started to involve ourselves in campus ministry. Things started growing really rapidly, and we decided, let's do this retreat. So we went to the mountain for a weekend, and we had people tell their testimony of what was really going on in their life. It was like a free mic night, right? So people came up to the front, and people started telling their stories. And one girl, I'll never forget, I'd had my Bible study going for at least a couple quarters, and she goes, she had anorexia, and she goes, if I lose any more weight, they're gonna send me home. Sure enough, she lost a couple more pounds, and she knocked on my back door one day and said, they're sending me home. I felt so helpless, because we had taught everything that we knew to teach in the Bible. And I just thought, how are we gonna help these kids? So we have this retreat up at Mount Baker, and all these kids are telling like horror stories. This is like a really expensive university. And we just didn't know that behind like the cheerful facade and these like high performing kids was these really tragic stories. Brian and I just remember us sitting in the back of the room, just tears running down our face. And we thought, what are we going to tell them? Are we going to tell them to like memorize more Bible verses? What is our solution to this? We didn't know. So we had a church that was on Saturday night that was all youth church. And the church building that we used and our friends did like the Sunday morning service. And this guy was like an incredible expository teacher. He just taught verse by verse, and crowds just started coming in this church in the Northwest. It was amazing. It just kept getting bigger and bigger. Well, every year on Super Bowl Sunday, this pastor would head out of town, and that was his ski weekend. And he would always ask Brian, will you preach? Well, the church is like really big now. It's like for the Northwest, in those terms, it was probably 800 people, 600 to 800 people, which is really big for the Northwest in those days. And Brian wrote out a sermon, and he goes, that's not it. Writes another sermon, that's not it either. He couldn't land on it. And then we had a little nanny that was helping us with our kids, and she started talking to him about a religious spirit. And he goes, what's a religious spirit? So he writes a sermon on the religious spirit. Laura, my friend, was there. Okay, she was there. So she's tracked with us all these years. This is like 2001?
Yeah.
2001-ish? Yeah. So Brian gets up there and teaches on this. There's three services at this church. He teaches on a religious spirit. You guys have taught on a religious spirit?
Yeah.
We all know what religion is. It's form without the spirit of love, okay? It just starts imposing things. So he's teaching on what this is. After the service, this young kid just beelines it to him. Remember, this is very conservative. So our worship is like, Lord, we love you. It's like the half lift, you know? It's like, we're not fully like released to just like full on worship yet. Saturday night was getting there, but Sunday morning, definitely not. So this kid comes up to Brian and he goes, dude, can I tell you something? And he's like, yeah. And he goes, the whole time you were preaching, I was filled with such hate for you, and I just want to hit you so bad right now. Oh, yeah, yeah, you know, young preacher, that's kind of not how you really meet someone after they really like gave their guts and you're going, how did I do? So Brian goes, never done this before. He goes, I'm just going to pray for you in another way. He puts his hand on his shoulder and he goes, Lord, I just rebuke this spirit of murder. I rebuke this tormenting spirit. Okay, guys. Full on radio show. There was a radio show in the day where the people were manifesting, you know, and this guy delivered them on the radio. It's the only exposure we had. And they would be like talking, and like, you know, everything would be like coming. This guy goes into full on manifestation. So they're like putting him on the stage. He's like talking in another voice. He's picking up chairs and hucking them. This is after the service. And I would say maybe 200 of the 800 people had exited the building. So this conservative church is now seeing full-on demonic manifestation. And this guy starts pointing to the guys that were praying for him. And he goes, you're abusive to your kid. He looked at this other guy and said, you're having an affair. Oh my gosh. No, I'm not even kidding you. Now, the demonic is not all-knowing, right? But that actually turned out to be true. Wow. Yeah. This changed our whole church. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Yeah. Second service, it happens again. But this time, Brian's calling me on the phone, like, we got a guy in a side room here, and we can't get control of him. You need to come, like, right away. Second service, during the service, this woman stands up, like, 3/4 of the way back in the church. And she just starts manifesting. And it's just as calm a room as this, but it's like hundreds of people. So this is, like, very disruptive. It's very disruptive. So now we've got that girl going in another room. We've got two rolling, and Brian still has a night service to do. Okay? So we're calling the head pastor, come home, come back. We are so in over our heads. And so they call me to come down, and you got to pray for this girl. We can't get a hold of this spirit underneath her. The guy ends up going home just like as bad as he showed up. But this lady was still there. And I'm thinking, this is easy. You just take authority. I've seen it on the radio, heard it on the radio 1,000 times. I'm just gonna take authority over whatever's with her in Jesus' name. So I walk in Jesus' name, I just rebuke everything with you right now. And that's the only sentence I knew. But nothing happened and I was like shocked. Why doesn't the demon have to do what I say? I couldn't believe it. Well, we were like calling the charismatic churches in town. Like, can you come and help us? Because we were putting Bibles on her body. We were doing everything and could not figure out why we didn't have authority. Okay, so you say, what happened next in the story, Christy? Thank you. The Lord did not leave us hanging. There was nothing to read. We had one book. I can't remember what that book was called, Laura. It was some kind of identifying strongholds thing.
Oh, yeah, it's a famous guy, but I can't remember it right now. It'll come to me.
Yeah, we had nothing. And then we had the plumb line. Have you heard of the plumb line? Because YWAM does the plumb line. Yeah. And it's this teaching where you identify all of the bricks, like on the aggressive side of the personality, like competition, self-promotion, aggressiveness, anger, all that kind of stuff. And then the left side of the plumb line is passivity. And it's like not caring. It's all those kind of more passive things, right? So I do the teaching with my Bible study. We get to the end. And I look for the pages, like, now that we know what all these bricks are and sin things are, what do we do with them? And there was no pages. Like, there was no, that's how we came up with the 4 R's. Wow, that's cool. That's how we learned. But how did we learn it? Today, we're talking about hearing the voice of God. Yeah. One morning, I wake up and my ear is on fire. It's just burning. Earlier, someone had given me a book with a big eagle on it and said, I think you're prophetic. And I'm like, those are weird people, man. And I just put it on the shelf. I never cracked it.
Wow.
It had an eagle on it. I just couldn't go there. But my ear was just on fire. And so it went all day. Brian was still in business. He comes home from work. And I said, Brian, my ear is like aching. I'm thinking I need to go to the doctor. We just had put down the kids. Chloe was probably 3 years old. She was, do you guys know Chloe?
Yeah.
Okay. She was like really joyful, and then she'd just be really upset and sad for no reason. And we just knew that that was not who God created her to be. We could be at Disneyland, and she would just have tears for no reason, just really sad. And Brian was quickened into spirit when I told him my ear was burning. This is like now 9 at night. And he goes, we're going to pray for Chloe. We're going to pray for Chloe right now. So he goes, in Jesus' name, we just pray you'd show Christy a picture of what Chloe's room looks like. And right away, it was like this movie screen came on, like three-dimensional movie. And I'm watching like spirits in her room. And I'm like, this is weird. Brian, I see like this really dark figure. And I was like a little bit freaked out. I was a little like weirded out by this whole thing. Because remember, we had no exposure to anything.
Right.
Guys, there was no Google. There was no Googling anything. You could go look at a bookstore. There was nothing on the shelf to find. So there just was no way of knowing that you just weren't completely losing your mind. And so I started seeing things and telling Brian what I saw, and then he started rebuking it. And I go, as fast as you're rebuking these things, they are leaving.
Wow.
Okay, object lesson for us. We got up the next morning and Chloe was a different person.
Wow.
Like completely different.
Wow.
As in we never had to revisit it again different.
Wow.
It was just the Lord's kindness. He was just saying, I'm just gonna show you how it's done. One thing I want to say about hearing the voice of God is this is the love of God. It is the love of God expressed over you. And it's the kindness, it's his mercy that we would hear. Because what are all of the things that the prophetic brings? It's the Lord disclosing his love to you, disclosing his love to another person. I don't know how many times, you guys, we've had people that we've prayed for, and I know Brian is going to ask me a certain thing, and I don't have anything in my mind. I remember this one guy came up to church because this became a big ministry in our church. He was so mean looking. He was like 6'5". And I know he was just saying, this is all bogus. His wife had dragged him there from a Presbyterian church in Seattle. He drove down to be there, and he just looked meaner than a snake. And, you know, I'm just human. It's just like, I don't want to pray for that. But it's the Lord would speak to anything. So anything that I thought I would say to someone, when I bowed my head, the Lord would just show this incredible love and say, you were designed to carry this. You were designed to carry that. And then this guy, it was so interesting because I saw two things that were really unusual. One, I saw a picture of a construction site. So I kept speaking to that. And the second thing I saw was making of a watch, a watchmaker. And it was the Lord's love for this man. Because he worked in construction. He was a foreman on construction sites. And I had no way of knowing that. And the second thing was his dad was a watchmaker. Had no way of knowing that. But it's the Lord's love.
Yeah.
He was saying, I know you.
Yes.
And so when I reveal that I knew that about you, when I say you were designed to carry this and to walk in this, I'm saying it out of my love. So it's just, the kingdom of God is so rich in love. I'm just going to tell you something very vulnerable. One of the last texts that Brian sent, Caleb, you might have been on this stream, but he said, guys, he didn't know he was going to die. He said, our whole lives are about loving God and loving others. We don't have time not to love. Don't get so busy and carried off in the things that God is doing in your ministry that you're not loving. And when that's your driver for gifts in the Spirit, because you're going to outwardly use them to love, it's so powerful. And then look how disruptive the Lord is. The Lord was so disruptive to our church and that Sunday morning church. Bless that Sunday morning church, because there was a huge exodus after that. People were freaked out. That was like the first exodus. Like 200 people left after that manifestation. Because some people just don't want to say, wow, there's a whole kingdom realm operating now. Like those are, demons are real. We don't want to say that in America, but demons are real. But he didn't leave us hanging, because he showed us how to take authority over it. He showed us our authority as a believer. And then he gave us the ability to bow our heads and say, Lord, I'm not myself. I shouldn't accept this. What is coming against me? Well, Christy, you're operating in fear right now. You've put a whole lens of fear over your future. Why don't you just break that off and change your day? You know what I'm saying? It's so... You know, we can deliver ourselves all the time.
Yeah, let's go.
So if we can identify it, the enemy just wants us to just accept things just for what they are. And we should never. We're supposed to be, Paul said, we're supposed to be in joy at all times. How did he find joy in suffering or joy in loss? Is the Holy Spirit like that capable? Absolutely yes. I'll answer that for you. Absolutely yes. Are you still awakened with me? Because
yeah.
I've told you a long story.
No, it's so good.
But this is how we found the prophetic. And it was so amazing. So what happened after I was hearing, I had a discipleship group. I had a big group of 200, and then I had this little group where I just really invested like in 5 to 7 girls, depending on the season. But this was 5 girls. They all wanted to hear the word too. They all wanted to hear from God. They are so hungry. Well, about a week later, one of the girls had a burning ear too. Lord just turned on the prophetic. Now, the other girl who really, really wanted it was feeling like, I'm not going to be left out of this. Lord, I want to hear, and I want to hear like really clearly from you. And she's just like, Christy, I want to hear. Pray that I'd hear. And I go, I don't know if you're going to hear. It's like a listed gift. I don't know who God's going to give what to.
Right.
She was so hungry. She just reminded me of the person that came to the baker's door and knocked.
Yes.
And just would not leave until that baker woke up his household, got the bread, and brought it to the man.
Yeah.
She was like that. She goes, she was holding on to the cloak, like, I will not move on unless you pour out prophetic on me. That woman ended up hearing so clearly from God. She helped free up my kids. She gave things to our family directionally. She's like 15 years younger than me. Just so profound. My biggest personal breakthroughs in life, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
I'm gonna like fast forward hunger in your spirit. Hardest words I ever received and the most honest words I ever received were from my kids.
Wow.
Brian would say, guys, mom's health is really bad. She's really bad. We got to pray for her. And it was always my health, right? But that was never the answer when you bow your head. Because we were operating in this new freedom culture.
Yeah.
No lie. I am probably in my 30s. Chloe is no bigger than this. She goes, Mom, I see Jesus walking with a donkey, but I see you, hi, sitting up on your horse. Man. Okay, so my daughter just told me I'm selfish and prideful. And I've elevated my own deal above what God is doing. And at some point, thought that what I was doing was pretty special.
Wow.
Yeah, bummer. Oh, was such a bummer. But man, no, the clearest words have come from my kids just out of their pure childlike heart. It's so refreshing. They're not trying to do anything. And she didn't even know what she was telling me it meant. She was too young to even know. Later she knew. Now she knows. Because we ask all the time. It's become a lifestyle. Okay, guys, are you ready to like dive in a little bit?
Yeah.
And just, Brian really wrote up hearing the voice of God. He always taught on it, and then he'd pull me up to like share, pray. But I'm gonna do what he did and just do a quick run through of just one of the chapters of hearing the voice of God. It's in the Big Ten. Big Ten, you guys, that book is just, if you ever need it, it's just if you're gonna disciple someone or you're gonna have a small Bible study and people are new in the Lord, it just starts at the beginning and just walks through things chapter by chapter. So you kind of get down the line and then you're in the hearing the voice of God. Okay, I hope you guys have Bibles.
Yes.
Do you have notebooks?
Yes.
Do we have like fast looker-uppers for scripture? All right. I don't know if you guys have ever seen, I love this first verse because it's in John 10:4. I don't know if you've ever like experienced been overseas somewhere or out in the country where there actually are sheep, like herds of sheep. And then there's all these little baby sheeps. And the mom sheep can go, bah! And that little sheep that is like a mile over there knows the sound of its mom and can run straight to it. It's so cool. And this verse, John 10:4, I love it. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. That's John 10:4. Why is this verse so important? It's because everybody, I'm not talking about prophetic gifting. I'm just talking about you as a believer have the ability to hear God's voice. Just like you would recognize your mom's voice across the room or your dad's voice across the room. The Lord speaks. And his voice becomes as distinctive as anybody else. You guys all know each other. You could turn around, somebody could be speaking, and you know when it's Caleb. You know when it's Maddie, because it's distinctive. And so sometimes you're going to be hearing something, and what's the biggest question prophetic people ask? Was that me or was that the Lord? It's so real. Yeah. So the Lord's voice, the more you practiced it, will become more and more distinctive in your life. And you'll be able to separate it. Let's roll on down. I don't know if you guys are following on your deal. It might be like this big on your phone. So I'm just gonna pull a few things from this. Have you guys received prayer in a way that you just felt like you were intimately known by the Lord? Like, wow, he really knows me. Yeah, it's so amazing that God can point out distinctive things in all of you that completely describe who you are. And we're so lucky, so fortunate that you're starting your life with this ability and revelation. Now, whether you like get a full-on prophetic gifting, you're going to be smart enough to know that if you don't, to have someone prophetic with you.
Yeah.
Do you guys know who Joy Dawson is?
Yeah.
All right, Joy Dawson helped start YWAM with Lauren Cunningham. So we have Lauren Cunningham, this big apostolic leader who's been to every nation on the earth, right? Every nation. Went to Antarctica so he could check off the last one, seriously, for no reason. He just went with guys because he had to put his feet down there. So you have this big apostolic figure, and YWAM was cultivated and developed, and the cultures were brought forth because Joy Dawson was there.
Yeah.
And she was prophetically speaking, and he was leaning in on her, and they learned how to work together. That is really, really hard for a strong leader to do. But Brian has like 6 books or whatever, because he would stop and say, what's the Lord saying? What's the Lord saying? And then he took it to the bank. He just took that word to the bank. He declared that word till it was alive, because he knew that God had spoken. And if it was something out of his reach, he was going to put his head down in and go for it, because God had spoken it. And some of the things that God speaks are so contrary. So contrary to what we think he would say.
So true.
Want to hear one?
Yeah.
Being in California.
Yeah.
Brian loved being in Kona. He was in his realm. He was teaching at every school that would come by. He loved it so much. He could just pull me down from the apartments up there. We could prophesy over people, and I'd head up and he'd keep teaching. He just loved it. He loved Hawaii. He loved the whole thing. But we had to move around several times while we lived in Kona. And one day he goes, we need to pray about where we're supposed to live next on the island. And I saw orange groves. Brian was not happy. He goes, but we're not moving, so where are we supposed to live? And I said, I just don't get anything else. So we just practically looked for our next place, moved in, and then we had to be out of that place. And it was like, where are we supposed to live? Now I see like fields and fields of orange groves. And Brian would get so mad, so mad. Then we did our first circuit rider school that summer. And the Lord had already showed that we were baking in the kitchen, and God was going to pick us up and pluck us out of Kona so fast that the flour went flying. We had hardly any response time at all. So the circuit rider school, we do the circuit rider school, and it's like, well, where are we taking these kids when we're done? We've got to do an outreach. And we said, okay, we'll go to California. We'll do a California tent. We did our first tent for circuit riders, for our first outreach, at the Hilton Hotel in a tent. And then we go, oh my gosh, we need a team here. Well, there was like 5 of us. And the Lord spoke clearly that we were going, like in so many ways. And Brian really went kicking and screaming. And then we didn't know what we were planting here. We did not know what we were planting. And so he'd look at me, the one who got the pictures, and he'd go, what are we doing here? Because when you're pioneering, it's very stop and go. It was very stop and go. We did not know why we were here and what we were building. So anyway, he was super happy to be here. We did not know one person. We did not know one welcoming person. Wow. It was incredibly hard. Laura, yeah. Testify.
We did not.
She said, we did not. Okay, look up Acts 2, verse 17 and 18. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Guys, are we in the last days?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're absolutely in the last days. No confusion about that, because New Testament already told us we were in the last days, and that was a long time ago. So now maybe we're more in the last days-ish than we ever were. But we're in the last days. So he is pouring out his spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. That's you guys. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Why is God saying that? Let's jump down here to 1 Corinthians 14:1. You don't have to turn there. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Why? Why especially the gift of prophecy? Laura, you could tell us why. Here, come here for a second.
Laura
could tell us why. Why this is an encouragement.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Laura, I just like you to speak to the thousands, not an exaggeration, not being cutesy, like thousands of prayer times you have done in this community.
Okay.
Just the 10 years in this community.
Okay.
I want you to speak to stuck. What stuck is, and how God gets us unstuck.
Oh. Okay.
Hello.
It's
Hi.
Nice to see you.
You guys look so good today.
Okay, so, you know, when Matt and I came a couple weeks ago, we talked about how to use the prophetic. And what Christy's talking about here, we talk about it through the lens of freedom. So we have to be, when she's even sharing, if we go back to what she was talking about before, with all watching from the back, crying. Mm-hmm. Watching all of these people in your brokenness with mm-hmm. no recipe mm-hmm. for getting them to a breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
That's what freedom has done for us. It's mm-hmm. expedited sanctification.
Yeah, 100%.
So quick. So quick. If you're like, man, I so want to do all the things. Who got an original design in here? When I got my original design, I had just told someone, I am not called to do evangelism. I am called to work in the church. I am called to help the church, restore the church. The very first thing she told me was evangelism. And she saw these amazing people in history that I won't even say because it's just crazy. And you're like, how is this possible? Because just yesterday I said, I will never be that. So how do I get from like where I feel like I am right now to what God has said about me? I don't know how to get there. If it's really a God thing, you don't know how to get there. And so this was part of, and we do this in our community because we all have growth areas. We all have areas where our life doesn't align with Jesus, right? I mean, come on.
100%.
Nobody's perfect.
Nobody's
perfect. As hard as we run. And I'm a couple decades older than most of you in here, and even still, after 25 years of using the freedom material, I still have stuff that I'm like, we could bow our head right
100%.
Now and ask the Lord.
Absolutely.
He would totally lay me bare right there in a loving, kind way because he loves me enough. Yeah. He wants me to be free.
Yeah.
He's not doing it to shame you or to embarrass you. He's doing it because he's like, come on, we got stuff to do. Let's go do it. If you're going to go on tour, if you're going to go share the gospel, if you're going to go be all the things that God said for you to be, chances are your flesh is going to have something to say about it. Chances are the enemy is going to oppose you, and chances are there's some wounding from your past that needs to be resolved.
Mm-hmm.
Before you can do that with the same urgency, the same fervor, and the same purity with how God has mm-hmm. created you.
Yeah.
And so that's really how we use freedom. We use it not to bring shame or be like the gentleman laying on the stage calling people out.
Mm-hmm.
When God calls us out, he gives us the recipe.
Yes.
100%.
To have a breakthrough.
Yeah.
He gives us exactly what we need to be there, not to just shame there and be like, that's it. You're over. You're canceled. You're out.
Wow.
No. He restores. He loves. And he brings us all the way back to what he originally designed us.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he sent his son. That's why we have the beauty of relationship with Jesus, because he knew we were going to mess it up.
Yeah.
He knew it ahead of time, and he made a plan, and we all wake up every morning needing the blood of Jesus to forgive us and the Holy Spirit to fill us and God to lead us.
Let's go.
If you're in all honesty, there's never going to be a day you wake up that you don't need it. And if you don't need it, then we're back to the religious forms.
Yeah, that's it. 100%.
And so that's what we do with freedom. It's expedited.
Mm-hmm.
So we get there quicker. So it's like, I don't have to wait for 5 years mm-hmm. for my fear to cripple me.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm like, you know what? Maybe these ulcers are trying to tell me something. Maybe I need to. It's like, hey, let's get to the bottom of this. Let's give the Lord our fear. Let's have a breakthrough. Just like Christy said, right here, she was like, hey, you know what? You don't have to accept what the enemy's brought. You can have a breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
You can apply biblical truth and be changed.
Yeah. That is exactly what, right on. So it's used for edification of the body, right? It's used oftentimes for healing, for direction. It's used for all of these amazing things. So in our church that Laura was a part of, we ended up getting 50 prayer teams. And we usually had one very prophetic person in that circle. What do we call the person that, it wasn't the coach, prophet, the discernment, the authority. So we had these little groups of three. So everybody could exercise their gift, right? So these people started coming from everywhere to get prayer. One night, this is how I discovered what Laura had in her. And I want you to say this. I don't know what's in me.
I don't know what's in me.
Laura didn't know what was in her. You don't know what's in you. We had this guy come who loved the Lord so much. It was a family friend who'd driven from Portland to Washington to get prayer. He didn't know why he was coming. He just thought it'd be great because he was just a strong believer. He was a pillar in their church. He was just rolling with the Lord. And when he got into the service, how did I say this graciously? His eyes got wild. He reared back. And there was this lady sitting in the front row, and she was this lady that had mental issues that came, and she was just there to curse us. Honestly, she was just a witchcraft lady. Wow. And sometimes it was hard to get her out of the church. It was just one of those moments where she'd crept in, and he saw her, and he goes, just like, and his eyes are bulging. And Brian and I are praying for him, and we go, we got to get Matt and Laura. We got to get Matt and Laura. Laura discovered what was in her because she became this face-grabbing, you are going to experience the love of Jesus right now. And she had a breaker anointing. Shannon has a breaker anointing. Like when there is religion or unbelief or passivity or something in the air that we are wrestling with, you need the breaker anointing to come in and go, ka-chick. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Because then it breaks the air open and we can freely talk about Jesus in all of the full counsel of scripture of like who he really is, what he really does, what is really opposing us, the war that we're really in. And we need God to speak to us because times are getting darker and we need the Lord to instruct us, remind us who we are, keep us mentally sound so we can move forward into the fullness of what he has, not some half-cocked, oh, I kind of veered off and almost made my calling. What about the fullness of what you have in you and a hunger churning in you that when you read 1 Corinthians and you see all of these gifts that you're saying, I want to hear the voice of God. I want to speak in tongues. I want to interpret words. I want to be able to preach. I want to be able to encourage. You know that, Brian, this is so cool. I am in a prayer time with Brian. And it's early on, we were praying all the time. As soon as the kids went down, he just was initiator of the century. Bam, ask again, ask more. He would never leave a question and an answer sitting there. Wow. He would ask an implicational question on the answer. Wow. Because so many people have been misdirected by hearing something from the Lord and saying, I think we're supposed to do this. Yeah. It's like, I think you failed to ask the next question about what he was saying about that first thing. But Brian had this picture, and Brian came from a really stern, interesting German family. So if you knew him or you hear him described, he was funny. He was the funnest guy in the room. He led Circuit Riders to the party constantly. He led our family to a party constantly. He was like a big party. But God imparted it. That's not the person I met. The seeds of that were in there. But one day I saw these rings and they were like electrical rings and they were going up and down his arms, up and down his arms. And I'm going, what is that? And I heard they're blessing rings. And he goes, oh, okay, I got some blessing rings from the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But you know, that doesn't mean anything to you. Sometimes you get these symbolic pictures and you just go, okay. Good. Okay. So he's at church. There's this girl sitting in the front row. And all of a sudden, she gets up and starts dancing. We didn't really have dancers at our church. But she was like dancing like, notice me, I am wounded. Brian went up to her and not saying, maybe you should move to the back to dance. He didn't address it practically. He addressed her spirit and said, you are so called out by the Lord. And the enemy wants to work in your life so that you would display and gain negative attention. Because it's better than no attention. And it reinforces all of your pain. And then he just declared love over her. And then he laid out this blessing. And I was just standing there with my jaw was like on the floor. And I'm like, man, those blessing rings were really real. And I just kept praying, Lord, I want the blessing rings. I want the blessing rings. And you know, we all have different gifts and we hear differently. The prophetic runs these different rivers. And I don't have one friend that hears prophetically. I was with someone, one of our donors is in a prophetic ministry and was with her all weekend in Palm Springs. And she has gotten elevated in her church to just guide this very big Northwest church in Seattle because of the way that she hears God. You know how she hears the Lord? I just see a hot dog, and the hot dog has a lot of mustard and relish on it.
Yes.
It's, yes. She uses food a lot. She uses nature a lot. And there are these little symbolic pictures. And she just says, oh, I'm not really a prophet. I don't really do anything. But these pictures have guided the ship. This pastor is completely dependent on her. And so the Lord speaks to us all different because who are we glorifying in the whole process? Every gift of Scripture should point to Jesus.
Yeah.
Every gift that we display in our lives should just make him more known and more seen. And it should be just saying, God's so loving and so kind. I remember when Brian goes, Lord said, prophecy is mercy. And he goes, yeah, prophecy is merciful. God's saving my buns. And that's what Laura's saying. It's like we don't have to stay stuck as people. And here's what happens in our life as we age. Did you ever see like somebody in their 50s or 60s and they're talking about some pain of their childhood?
Yeah.
Wow.
Talk about it.
Oh, it's just so discouraging. It's like, man, Lord, I don't want to be that. And it's not enough that you don't determine not to be that. It's that you have to do the work and take care of your business because something is operating near your life out of just some junk that happened in childhood. Unless you were raised by Jesus, I was raised by great parents, but there was still junk in the trunk and we had to deal with it because there's not perfection on earth and there's not perfected love. And so you have to go back and say, mom's operating in this. Oh, and her mom was too. And her mom was too. And as much as you don't want to say you operate in it, I guess I am. Because Chloe's there to tell me that I am. Otherwise, it's so much, you know, things change from generation to generation. We grow and we surpass our parents. It's the nature of things. My kids surpass me. It will just keep going because we're building on a legacy from Jesus. So you getting free, one, you might not even know what you need to be free from right now. But God is really kind. And I'll compare this to grief. When someone first dies, if they're close to you, you go into the shock. And the Lord goes, click, 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 and he closes down all these areas of the brain because there are so many secondary implications to that death that you could not handle that right now. Month three, the Lord just so kindly opens the door and says, look at this. And then you grieve through that, right? You go, oh, that's a real loss. That hurts. Ow. And then you come out on the other side with joy. And that's how freedom is. The Lord's so kind. He just allows things to surface. And you go, you know, I just always thought that was normal in my family.
Yeah.
And other people are saying, not normal. That was not normal. Was that the love of God being demonstrated to you in that situation? You don't know how bad that is. And then something comes forward And there it is. So you guys might be on tour. Right?
Yeah.
Tour is like really unkind to the flesh because it will show itself. But it's wonderful because when something surfaces, this is the Lord saying, here, you're going to have tools for it. What's our time? 11 o'clock.
You're doing great.
Yeah,
so much fun.
You guys are the best. Oh my gosh, that's so fun. Okay, so I'm going to get back to the book because I have to teach you the Bible. Because this is so grounded in Scripture. And it's not because, wow, it'd be really cool if you guys could hear from God. The Lord is saying, this is my kingdom. These are my workers in the kingdom. And if you guys are going to battle on the front lines or anywhere, you have to be equipped with these tools, or you're going to say 3 weeks into tour, I think I have to go home. My parents really need me because my second uncle on my dad's side is really sick. Do you see what I'm saying? We need some longevity. We need some, aren't you inspired by people who finish strong? It's so inspiring. That's going to be you because God's giving you the tool. So Lord, I just pray for hunger to be released right now in this room. Lord, whether ears burn or not, can I tell you, the most receptive group we ever spoke to, Brian, we were in Kona, living in Kona, so this is like 12 years ago. He walks down to the high school group that's having infusion, and he just said, Lord, I just pray you'd release the prophetic on these kids right now. It was the most widespread release of the prophetic hearing I've ever seen. These kids were freeing each other up, hearing the voice of God so clearly in a day. God is able. He can do whatever he wants. He's just waiting for us to just like, I want this, Lord. Because I want to use this for your kingdom. I want to glorify you with my life. I want my friend to be encouraged. I want to be free. You know, Brian is gone. I have, like, am I going on this trip? All I do is I would be in such anxiety if I have made decisions with someone for 34 years. We'd bounce things around. Now I just go, Lord, am I supposed to go on the trip? Yep, I see you there. You're having a great time. Buy the ticket. Lord, am I supposed to go on that trip? Well, if you go, you're going to be sitting a lot and you're walking around with a cane, so it might be a little too far. The Lord just tells me, it's like cheating. Isn't it? Because I don't know. Here, okay. Honest, can we get honest for just a second? Okay, when you go back to your house and you are talking with your roommate and you get in circular conversation mode and they're telling you the whole story and you're going around and 3 hours have gone by, or it's 1 a.m. and you just talked a big circle with no solution. How? Well, yeah, we have. All of us do it all the time. But here's where initiation comes in. You know, the forceful will take it by, you know that verse? What is that verse? Matthew 11:12. Someone read that. We need it right now. Someone just stand up and belt it out. Matthew 11:12.
From the time John the Baptist began preaching and baptizing until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and violent people attack it.
Who attacks it?
Violent
people attack it? That's a little strong. Well, you guys went through the passivity worksheet, right?
Yeah.
Did you find, okay, there's another fun prayer time with the kids. Mom, I see a turtle. Sometimes in our life, we have an area of passivity because we hate that. There's just a category of things that you don't want to do. And you can be the most outgoing, aggressive initiator in all these areas. And over here, you're just like, I'll get to it. In this area, you have to initiate. The prophetic is a take by force kind of thing. Yeah. God, I want you to show me right now everything that is coming between me learning and hearing and experiencing your presence. What is the biggest thing coming against me today?
Come on, that's
Do you know that the Lord would tell you right then?
Yeah.
If he didn't tell you, he'd tell your friend, because he loves us to be vulnerable and interdependent.
Yeah.
He loves it. So when we can't hear for ourselves, he wants us to go. He wants you to be in that conversation, and she's going to talk about how she wants a husband again. And you're just like, okay, no, that was okay, like the first two conversations. But right now, we're going to get how many things you're going to release to the Lord. We're going to take off this lens of fear and anxiety. Your all of your self stuff, and we're going to pray through it right now. That's a 15-minute that's a 15-minute prayer time, as opposed to a 4-hour conversation. But what is it predicated on? Yay! Ding, 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 ding! Initiation! Is it predicated on initiation? Now, do all of us just come out of the womb as initiators?
No.
No, we don't. We don't. We have to be deliberate. We have to cultivate. I think that word is a lot in the Bible. There's a lot of cultivation and a lot of farming. Why? Because we don't grow without it. And it's a bummer, because it'd be nice to just sail through life of in avoidance of the hard things. Because really, isn't that what we're saying when we're passive? That's too hard. I don't feel like doing it. I mean, this whole DTS is just put a line. Let's just put a line. I need to make a mental decision. Brian was the driver of all things prophetic, where we were going. Ask a question, ask another question, ask another question. I had to ask myself, am I going to step over the line and be that now for myself? And I said, absolutely, yes, I will be that. And I'm going to surround myself with people that are instigators, so that I never end up like just riding a turtle on through any part of my life. That's not what God's declared over me. It's not what he's declared over you. I think we should pray. Stand up for a second. We'll take a little break. We'll take a little break, and we're just gonna shake something off. We're gonna ask a question right now. Anytime before you prophesy or hear from the Lord, the first thing that you have to deal with is your own heart. And I'm going to tell you what happened. One day, Brian and I were in a hurry. We're getting all our kids together. We had 4 kids at the time. We were going to a session at the church just for prayer teams. So there's probably 300 people. We were directing prayer teams and leading out in this kind of stuff. And we walked in, and Brian and I looked at each other, and we just knew that our lives had been so busy, and that we were in tension, not necessarily with each other, but in tension, and it comes out onto each other.
Yeah.
All the way there, and we go, we gotta get right before we start praying for people. So there's a little closet right off of the side of the building. We went in the broom closet, and we freed each other up. We asked forgiveness for everything that God brought up. And in like literally 5 minutes, we had a new lease on life.
Wow.
So I guess what I'm emphasizing here is that prayer moves things.
Yes.
It really moves things. And when you say, Lord, I ask forgiveness for passivity or not taking the initiation that I should have, there is an actual transaction.
Yes.
And sometimes there is impartation after that confession. And the Lord says, I'm going to make you more of an initiator than you even knew you were able to be. So we're going to pray right now. And we're going to ask the Lord, Lord, you know this school. You know all of these individuals so deeply. And I know we just hit something in the spirit when we got to this place. We all want to have a clear pipe to hear your voice with clarity and go, oh, that's Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just ask, how many things do we need to pray to clear the way for you to have the fullness imparted today of what you want to impart? Okay, 2 things. Lord, what's the first thing? Okay, the first thing is striving. You, when God imparts a gift, do you know what you do to get it? Nothing. My ears started burning. I didn't know about the prophetic. I didn't even ask for it. We have an example of the girl that knocked at the door, and sometimes the Lord puts a desire in your heart and is going to meet that desire, right? So let's just ask forgiveness for any way that you've put pressure on yourself. No, it's not forgiveness. I want you to release yourself from the pressure you've put on yourself to have a resume that's worthy to receive a gift from the Lord. Can you do that? Pray that out. You're just releasing. Lord, I release the expectation that I put on myself to somehow earn your attention, earn a worthiness to receive a gift from you. Okay, repeat after me. I'm his child.
I'm his child.
I have the authority of the believer.
I have the authority of the believer.
I am beloved by God.
I am beloved by God.
He really digs what he created here.
He really digs what he created.
That's right. So I ask forgiveness for all passivity. It's for the area that came to mind when I was talking about it. If God just put an area in your mind and you know you've been dragging your heels, right now, we're going to cry out for God to initiate upon us and drop on us an impartation.
Yes.
And we're doing it right in the middle of our teaching.
Let's go.
Because the Holy Spirit does what he wants.
Yeah.
He blows how he wants. Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, I pray over this room and I ask God that ears would open wide. We pray that you would impart a spirit of initiation in every one of these people. We know it's going to look different for every person. But Lord, we just pray right now, you drop that in. Why don't you ask him in your own words right now? No, 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 no. I mean, ask him with your heart. First of all, what do you want to ask him for? Think about leadership. Think about the level of initiation you've seen somebody operate in that you admire right now. Think about it. Now say, okay, that's me. That's me. This is what it looks like scripturally. We don't have any like people sitting on their laurels. If they were, they were an object lesson of not what to do.
Wow.
Deborah got on a horse and let's go, girls.
Yes. Yeah.
She went with the army. Barak went with the army and overtook things. An army is aggressive. An army takes territory.
Wow.
We were created to take territory.
Yeah.
So I want you just to ask the Lord right now. Close your eyes and bow your heads. Lord, I just pray right now, in terms of initiation, whatever has been our Achilles heel of discipline and initiation, I pray that you would show every person right now what that is. Okay, have you got it? Okay, now we're not going to be sad about this because the Lord's ready to do a transaction.
Yeah.
Come on.
And you need to tell him, what does he say when we don't have enough faith? He says it's to ask for more.
Yeah.
And we should expect that we're going to get it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're going to do right now. We need help with discipline and we need help with initiation. So right now, with all your guts, like the Lord has already put the package wrapped in front of you with the bow and you get to rip it open right now.
Let's go.
Ask him for it now.
Yeah.
Go ahead, just cry it out. Lord, I need your help, Jesus. I am dragging my feet. I need to ask for help. I've been trying to do it on my own. Lord, I just pray right now, Jesus, that you would unloose this right now in Jesus' name. Right now, Father, just show them Jesus. Impart, God. Impart initiation. Fear of God. Hunger. Drive. Zeal. Give us zeal, Lord. Give us zeal, Jesus. Renew our zeal, Lord. Make us alive in you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That was so good. You can sit down. Okay, I'm going to go over super quick. I'm going to have a couple of you look up verses. You ready to hear the ways that God talks?
Yes.
There's eight. There's eight ways that Scripture shows us that He speaks. Could someone look up, here, give me a hand. Acts 20:22. You got it. Could someone look up Daniel 7:2? You got it. Matthew 1:20. Thank you. One more. Let's do Acts 9:4. Right there. Okay. First way, write this down. The first way that the Lord speaks is in an impression. Impressions are very subtle. It's a really gentle way of the Lord communicating in your inner being. And it's, I have a sense. It's, I have a sense. So who has Acts 20:22? Go ahead. Real loud.
And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there.
Okay, Paul already knows that he's on a dangerous journey. The Spirit's already warned him. Yeah. So an impression, it can be like good news and bad news, apparently. Yeah. So the Lord had forewarned him that he was going to pay a cost to go do what he was going to do. So he went knowing. Isn't that just like the inspiration of Paul? He went knowing it was going to cost him. So powerful. So an impression. One caution I would go on impressions is impressions are not great directional tools. Impressions are simply what they are, impressions. It's not clear instruction. You really want the Word of God and a clear word to affirm something. Yeah. And your practical world all to match up when you are leading forward. So impressions are sometimes that's why people get bad words all the time. And they go, man, if I did that, my church would have tanked. You know, because impressions don't get you there. Number two is vision. Seeing a snapshot or a still image with the eyes of your heart, or seeing several images together, much like a movie. So that's what I was describing to you when I saw Chloe's room. A movie turned on. So it's an actual vision that is going on in your inner mind. And sometimes the Lord allows you to see something in the physical that is just like on a clear screen. Or it's in your mind's eye. So it can be either one on a vision. Did someone look up Daniel? Okay, great. What, could you read it one more time?
Daniel declared, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea.
Yeah, that's so great. Daniel and Isaiah have given us a lot, and so is Revelation, in terms of like just trying to describe like other worldly things or things that are going on in war in other places or how we are. I mean, he was like prophesying for a whole nation. So visions can be so powerful, but they can also direct your life. Someone might have a vision over you, and it could be a life direction. The third is a trance. A trance is a vision in which you're playing an active role in interfacing in the vision. So John had that on the island of Patmos. And then there's been other examples in the Bible too, but I didn't want to focus on that one. Number four is dreams, similar to visions and trances, but these happen while you're sleeping. Has anybody had an informative dream before? Yeah. Aren't they wonderful?
Yeah.
Dreams are really special because that's really initiated so much by God in such a sweet way. It's so awesome. I think someone has Matthew 1:20. Someone have that? Great.
But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.
I love this. I'm going to interrupt. This is so good. Can you imagine like just how weirded out Joseph was that his wife was pregnant? Okay, well, when all this stuff started happening in our church, We were really weirded out, guys. We were working with the senior pastor of the Sunday morning church who was so grounded in the Word. But we were like 8 months into it. People were coming for prayer. We're like, you know, there was a lot of deliverance. Really crazy deliverance. A lot of crazy deliverance. And we just went home and we would just have those moments like, there's no way to put the genie back in the bottle. This is like our life now. This is weird. We had no comfort like from anybody because we didn't know anybody that was operating in what we were operating in. It was weird. Well, to some measure, that's going to happen in your life because God communicates crazy things that feel so upside down, and you bow your head and God says to do something, or God gives you a word for someone else that doesn't make any sense to you, but it does to them. So God, the way that God communicates is so crazy. And I just love that the prophetic came with assurance. You're not going crazy. This is real. This is happening. I'm speaking. I'm going to reinforce it. I'm going to encourage it. I'm going to validate it. Okay, let's keep going. Number 5 is angelic revelation. God communicating through an angel, either while you're asleep or while you're awake. Totally how the thing in Tacoma started. It was the wife of this exhortational pastor, grew up in a Baptist church. She didn't believe in tongues. She didn't believe in the demonic. She didn't believe that the gifts were for today. And an angel showed up in her bedroom one night. This was all around the same time. This is right after Brian preached and the manifestation was going on. And he said that there was going to be a movement on the earth, and she got this big download. She came to church, and her demeanor, she was very tough because her dad had been abusive. So she was really tough. And she just walked differently. She had her eyes down. She was so contrite. So one day Brian went over to their house and goes, I know something's going on over here. I can feel it when I walk in the house. Like the presence of God is so thick. I feel like Isaiah right now. Like I want to run out of the house. I feel exposed. Wow. And it was an angelic visitation. Jeez. Circuit Riders was built on Amy Ward's angelic visitation. It happens, and it's fantastic when it does. God is really going out of his way to say, I'm in this. I'm birthing this. I'm the God of this. Yes. So exciting. Next way is audible voice. Sometimes God communicates by allowing us to audibly hear his voice. Acts 9:4. Did I give that to somebody? All right.
You said 4?
Acts 9:4.
And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Keep going. Or just verse 4.
One more time.
Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?
Yeah, that was a pretty good audible voice. Yeah, thank the Lord. We have the scriptures because God's audible voice showed up. And have you guys, has anyone here ever heard the audible voice before of the Lord? Laura, Laura, you have. That's so cool. That's so cool. Did anybody ever hear the audible voice of the Lord or an inner audible before they knew what the prophetic was?
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? Yeah. Oh man, it's just the love of God. It's so amazing. Number 7, God speaks through scripture. God's written word speaks directly to your heart, either while you're reading or when it comes to mind later. So God, it's the way that God speaks is not just the words on the page and intellectually understanding them, but have you ever read and something leaps in your heart? You go, oh, it's so good. Because God's speaking through it and impressing it in our hearts. The last way, number 8, is other people. Write that down, other people. Sometimes a friend can just be filled with the Spirit on the moment and say something that releases, and you go, oh, that was the Lord. Thank you for saying that. God just showed up and spoke through that. Okay, we're going to go into an exercise. Right on the little worksheet that we had, it says how to begin, and it says clean up, That means that you are just moving anything out of your heart that would create the biggest thing is unbelief or unconfessed sin. Like if you're just knowingly doing something that is grieving the heart of the Spirit, it's really making your heart right before the Lord, cleaning it up, and then getting the posture of faith to hear from the Lord. So you got to clean it up. And then if there's something operating like a spirit, sometimes we have like this outside spirit. For a lot of people, it's like a sexual spirit, and you just feel it like pressing in on you. You guys got to take authority over that and just bind it up.
Yeah.
You can't have stuff like, it's like interference from a radio station. And you're trying to hear what they're saying, but there's so much static. That's what we're doing. We're like tuning it in by just saying, Lord, take this right now. And he's so able to. We so think in human terms on earning forgiveness or God partially washing us. But just when you pray, I just want to say it again, an actual transaction happens. And you have to receive with faith that he just did it. Like, oh my gosh, I'm white. I'm white as snow. Why is it white as snow? Could have said, you're ivory. You're a little off-white. He said, you're so clean. The power of the cross is so full that you are so right before me right now. I know what you did. I knew you were going to do it. I'm walking with you, and I'm going to walk you right out of it. He's so loving and ready to take hold because he wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you. Okay, so our faith is in position. All these things are in position. Let's ask the Lord a question. And then we're gonna do a little part two after we ask just a personal question. Laura's going to do just a little part two for just a few minutes, and then we're going to break up in groups. And we're going to practice informed intercession.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got a good topic today, too. But right now, I just want you to hear for yourself. Let's see if I wrote down a question. I think I might have. Yeah, I did. Okay. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we just love the way that you created and fashioned our walk with you. We thank you that you sent a helper. We are still learning every day how powerful it is that you sent a helper and that you said we would go on to do even greater things than these, that our lives and what we would see and the way that you would operate would be so much more than we've known. You told us that you would do that. So Lord, we just posture our hearts to hear. Lord, we just move aside and ask forgiveness for every way we've grieved your spirit that would cause us to hear a muffled voice. We just ask forgiveness and receive your forgiveness right now. We receive your washing. We accept the full resurrection power of Jesus. We agree together that you speak. We're thankful that you speak. You're eager to talk to me. He's eager to talk to you. So we're going to ask the Lord this question. I want you to show, Lord, a picture to every man and woman here how you have demonstrated your love towards them in just this last week. Okay, just so that everybody has an opportunity to hear, Lord, how have you demonstrated your love for me in this last week? If you want to extend it beyond a week and the Lord's showing you something in this season, Lord, you can show people a picture right now of a way that you have demonstrated your love in this season in a profound way for me. Okay, did anybody get a picture? Raise your hand if you got something specific. Wait, no, so I could see. And look around. the ground. We're off to a good start. Because that was pretty quick.
Yeah.
Does someone want to share what they got?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just saw Jesus just hugging every single person.
Just hugging.
Just
embracing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that. Did anyone else get anything? Yeah.
It was like I grew up not being introduced to any of this. And so like in the season, I was introduced into it. And then this last week we had Amy Warden. So it was like, it was such an amazing way to just kind of. Like as gracefully and as nicely as possible, hurled as fast as you can into the Holy Spirit.
Hooked you up to the like the fire hydrant of God's presence and yes, Holy Spirit. Amy is phenomenal. Oh, I'm so glad. Thank you for sharing that. So good.
Yeah, so on Thursday night, I was kind of like just completely drained. I was like, Lord, I can't do anything. I don't even have the energy to perform tonight. And he was like, it's okay. Like, I got you. Actually, I felt like he said this night's on me. Like,
yeah.
Me pour into you. So I got this picture of God carrying us. Like
carrying you. Oh, that's good.
Walk. Like, he picked us up. Like,
yeah.
Kind of like the picture of like a lamb, how he puts it over his shoulders and just carries it.
Oh my gosh, that's so good. Did everybody hear that? Could you hear him? Look at these men initiating. I'm loving it. Let's do one more.
Mostly night Thursday was a really rough day for me. And I came to Greenhouse and I was kind of just over it and didn't want to be here. And Thursday night was a really crazy night for me. Where it gave me like multiple things, like really deep revelations.
Wow.
And just how I saw a picture of me sitting over there on the floor where I, literally where I was on the house, and he was just sitting beside me, like, talking.
Yeah.
It was crazy because I was literally hearing from him.
Yeah. That's so good. You guys, thank you for sharing that. That's super helpful for everybody to hear. He's so eager to show his love. Okay, want to do one more question just on your own? Okay. Let's ask one way that the Lord wants you to outwardly love in this coming week. Like one thing that he wants you to do to show his love.
Good.
So Lord, we just bow our heads, we close our eyes, we just focus on you. We just thank you how eager you are to speak. We ask to hear. Open our ears, Lord. We just ask, Lord, what is the way, what is the one thing that you want me to initiate so that I can demonstrate your love in this week? Okay, what? Have you seen something? Heard anybody hear something? Anyone want to offer up something? Yeah.
There's like a couple people that God wants me to initiate.
There's a couple people that God wants me to initiate one-on-one time with.
Yeah, that's it.
Better.
How many of you got actually initiating and reaching out to someone? It's so good, isn't it? Caleb, you heard something. Mm-hmm. What'd you get?
I just felt there was somebody I'm supposed to initiate to get lunch for. Go get lunch.
That's so good. Did anyone hear something that wasn't initiating with someone else? Oh, good. Oh my gosh, that's really good. That's so cool. There was a hand back there somewhere. Yeah. Oh, calling out life in people. So just encouragement, direct encouragement to be intentional about it. So fun. It's so fun. That's so good. Laura, is there anything else you want to have them pray? Or is there anything to demonstrate before you go into?
What if we did just pair up real quick?
I think we should.
For the person next to them.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's get, one other person. Let's find one other person.
And maybe somebody you don't know. Just.
Oh, let's mix it up. Guys with guys, girls with girls.
Yeah, there it is.
We could just do it. Thank you for listening to the Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at crmovement.com. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or to see what's happening across the nation, follow us at CR Movement on Instagram. We'll see you on the road.